So, this is it. The final episode.
It's the final
episode.
I'm Heather.
I'm Ferg.
And we are new old friends.
We've loved having you, lovely listeners. And if you've enjoyed us, do let us know on social media. We don't know if or when we might be recording another podcast, but we'll be leaving all 5 series up for the foreseeable future, so please do spread the word.
You can still catch our festive farce, A Christmas Getaway, at Theatre or Bar Ustinov until the 8th of January.
And our film noir comedy romp, Crimes, Camera, Action, is touring up and down the country in the spring. It should be coming somewhere near you.
Yes.
Full details on our website, newoldfriends.co.uk.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you. The final hashtag Noth Quiz question is number 24. By what name is A Visit from St. Nicholas better known?
Well, have a Merry Christmas, one and all.
Yes, Merry Christmas for tomorrow. Have a great day.
It's Christmas!
Or whatever you're doing, celebrate it, be happy, be joyful.
Enjoy the final episode of Crimes, Clues and Christmas.
Ding!
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 Dong!
Crimes, Clues and Christmas, Chapter 24.
Okay, quick recap. Not that long ago, I was hired by my club chairman, Eldridge Rawlins, to look into the theft of some expensive jewellery at the ballet company where he was also chairman. I solved the case, but in the course of my inquiries, uncovered all manner of intrigue. Before I could confront the likely culprit, Daisy Love, I discovered the jewels in her dressing room, she was the victim of a terrible accident. Namely, a sandbag fell from the fly floor and struck her, killing her dead. At which point, the police entered the fray in the form of Inspector O'Rowby, who quickly ascertained foul play of some nature. After a bit of back and forth, O'Rowby was confident he had his murderers in Marlene Schweinbolger, whom Daisy replaced as prima ballerina, and her secret lover, Tatum Cakey Lyle. A theory which was compounded and, in O'Rowby's mind, confirmed by their apparent double suicide. However, in the last few moments, I, along with my date, Chas McConstance, had learned that in fact the culprit of both the theft and all 3 murders was none other than my club chairman, Mr. Eldridge Rawlins. It turns out he's having an affair with the ballet company manager, Dot Clitheroe, and was being blackmailed about it by Marlena, so embarked upon ever more extreme methods to rid himself of her. It looked like he'd got away with it, until one of his accomplices, Rudy Lightfoot, the principal male dancer, caught a conscience and confessed everything to Chaz and I. This was seconds before he caught a bullet in the chest, fired by the gun which Rawlins was now aiming directly at me. His lover, Dot, had just appeared to try and talk him out of any more drastic action.
Don't do it, Eldridge. You're a better man than this.
Don't push me, Dorothy. I know who I am. I've made my bed, and now I need to lie in it. This is happening.
He turned back to face me.
I'm awfully sorry about this, Artridge.
Everything happened incredibly fast after that. Dot threw herself at Rawlins and rammed her ever-present cigarettes into his face and one in his ear. Rawlins screamed and loosed off a shot which flew towards me. I felt the air pressure change as the bullet mercifully carried on its flight about 6 inches above my head. It was clear Rawlins would be able to overpower Dot easily, so I didn't have any time to waste and set off towards him at a sprint. As I did so, I noticed Chaz doing the same thing one aisle over. She came charging along the rows of chairs, her leg flashing out from her dress with each stride, looking like the most glamorous gladiator there has ever been. She beat me to the action by seconds and threw herself at the tangle of Dot and Rawlins, who by now were writhing on the floor. I followed suit, all 4 of us grappling with one another. Thankfully, Rawlins seemed most interested in trying to keep Dot from clawing out his eyes, which allowed Chaz to scoop up the dropped revolver as I helped Dot subdue him. Chaz lifted the gun above her head and fired, causing some plasterwork to fall from the vaulted ceiling.
That's enough! Stop it now!
She screamed.
It's over!
Rawlins finally admitted defeat and stopped struggling. I kept my knees on his arms just in case and sat there panting, my crotch inches away from his face.
Fair's fair. You win.
He panted. Then a rueful smile crossed his face.
Do you know, If Flo saw us like this, she'd tell you a tale about our trip to stay with the youngest son of the Sultan of Oman.
Then he started chuckling to himself.
God, I'm a fool. That woman's a treasure. This'll break her heart.
He didn't say another word. And a short while later, thankfully the police did arrive. My friend behind the bar had called them and then taken refuge in the kitchen. Her name turned out to be Sandra, by the way. My very first guess. She pointed out she'd never actually denied I'd guessed it correctly, just said that she wasn't going to tell me. Amongst the assorted officers who arrived on the scene with paramedics, a group of whom were treating Rudy Lightfoot, who'd make a full recovery, was Inspector O'Rowby, who came over to me with an appraising look.
Is what I've just heard true, Artridge? You charged a confessed murderer with a gun.
He looked a little impressed, and I confess my chest swelled a little.
Yes, I suppose I did. Rather makes up for any rumours about Richtenstern, wouldn't you say? You know, my needing to be saved by a young girl and all that.
Oh, absolutely. The way I hear it is none of that this time.
I didn't like the way he was smiling at me.
No, this time, as far as I can tell, you were saved by a little old lady, and then your dad charged the gun-wielding old coot, and then you.
Is that about right?
Well,
do you know, Inspector?
Yes,
it is right. I think the actions of Ms. Clitheroe and Ms. McConstance deserve to be lauded to the absolute utmost. I don't feel a shred of embarrassment about being saved by such incredible women. I smoothed down my bib and straightened my bow tie. Now, if you'll excuse me, I think Chaz and I have still got time to make our table.
Right you are, he replied, with a blank expression.
Chaz, are you ready to eat? I shouted over to where she was chatting animatedly with young Sandra, hopefully not about socialism. Although, looking at her dress, red was certainly her colour.
I'm coming, Peter.
She skipped over and knocked her arm in mine.
Is hanging out with you always as exciting?
It can be, I replied. But I'm rather hoping things settle down a bit from here on in.
I hope they don't settle too far,
she replied with one of her trademark smiles.
I've got some plans for you yet.
And her wonderful laugh echoed up into the grand ceiling of the theatre, and my heart soared higher still than that. It was going to be a very Merry Christmas indeed. Crimes, Clues and Christmas is a New Old Friends production, part of the Comedy Whodunits For Your Ears podcast series. Written and performed by Fergus Woods-Dunlop and Heather Westwell, with sound and music by Fred Riding. New Old Friends gratefully acknowledge the support of Arts Council England in making Comedy Whodunits For Your Ears.